doesn't come into play.
I mean, it's in a weird way, a guy like Paul Johnson, and he had a great kicker for all those years, the last several years, but he got caught flat-footed tonight. They got totally beat in the kicking game. Go ahead, Al.
Well, you talk about how dominant their rushing game was, and I was sitting there going, and I was sitting there in the camp going, and I was sitting in here with Laura before you guys got here, and in that first overtime when we scored second, I looked at Laura and I said, "We need to go for this. We're on the road. We can't stop a common cold right now. We just need to go for this." And I still think we should have. Now that we didn't, it's a different story, obviously. But as dominant as their running game seemed, we outrushed them on the average. Tony, they rushed 86 times. Mm. We only rushed 22. They rushed 86 for 6.2. We averaged 6.7 on the ground tonight. And a lot of that obviously came in the second half when we were able to have some more success.
That's a great
but
point.
As dominant as they seemed like they were, we theoretically, technically, we were the better rushing team tonight.
That's incredible how you take those numbers.
I thought our line dominated. And in the second half.
Let's go around the room. I asked a caller first. Do you think at any point tonight in those overtimes that Tennessee should have gone for two? Because I don't. People around me were saying we should have gone for two. Should have gone. No, you let that game come to you. You have a superior kicker.
I don't think so, because they had already turned over two times in the game. What if they had put the ball down one more time and then we win the game?
That's exactly right. You have a superior kicker and you have momentum. And to me, there's no way in the world I'm going for two unless I absolutely positively have to, because I have the advantage here in overtime.
All right.
So,
the only point I wanted to make.
Go ahead.
Was that ESPN's continuous how they do did us a disservice by the way they kept filming our backup quarterback and making it an issue.
Tell me about it. Tell me how. Because, again, we're sitting there. I'm watching the game at a watch party tonight. I'd like you to elaborate. Go ahead.
I just feel like that, you know, at some point in time we were struggling in the first half. I know. I keep up with recruiting rankings. I know who both are. And I know that Guantanamo is a dual threat. And I'm thinking we may need a dual threat because Normandy ain't moving the football in the first half. And just keeping on, and he's a 19-year-old kid. He wants to play. I understand why he's a little sour. I mean, he may have gone a little bit overboard, but ESPN making it that big of an issue made it worse than it should have been.
I will be really curious to see how they deal with this, because they're going to have to deal with it internally. And Tony told us something that maybe you heard, maybe you didn't, but tell them, Tone, about, tell this gentleman here who's a big fan of yours. I think he'll be surprised by this. Your second year on campus. Go ahead, Tony.
Well, I wasn't a Gentano. It was nothing like that. You know, man, you wouldn't catch me on the sideline
pouting openly.
You know, but I left. I left and went home. But, you know, I knew I was coming back because, you know, Dad wasn't having that.
Johnny Majors came back.
Dad wasn't having that. Coach Majors wasn't having it.
He came down and retrieved you, right?
Yeah, he came down and retrieved. But, you know, I can understand where he's coming from.
Yeah.
But, son, you got to wait your turn, man. This is a new league here for you because your first time out the gate.
Tony, let me ask you something.
Your first time playing in the stadium, your first play.
I'm going to ask Jerry and Tony this because both you guys had to sit and wait your turn. Jerry, I'm going to start with you on this one. You're Butch Jones. You're Larry Scott. You're Chico Canales, the quarterback's coach. How do you handle this tomorrow or in the next couple days? Go ahead, Tony, Jerry.
Tony, you don't have to do anything. Man, listen, tonight, if anything, what this kid learned, this is about the University of Tennessee. I think because of the way the college game is played these days, it's almost like someone has told these young QBs, when you step on the campus, because you are a dual threat. And then now there's a lot more of them than what there was, you know, 20, 30, 35 years ago. But that still does not mean when a particular team has a chance to do something special or, you know, salvage what could be an 8-9 win season, why should they put that on the line for one player, okay? And instead of this player growing, I mean, you know, when he surely came off that field, even though I thought I was a better player than him, and I thought I'd beat him out. Tony, I went right over there by that bench. I knew what was going on in the game. During the course of the game, I talked to Randy all the time. I said, "Hey, Randy, hey, I'm over here warming up. I'm good to go. If things get tight, know that you and Coach can put me in." And guess what? That's how you stay into the game. That's how when the time comes, if Dormini gets dinged and they put Garantano in there, that will determine on how well he plays or how well he doesn't play. But, you know, sitting on the sideline pouting and not really just staying mentally into that game, I really didn't care to see that. So, but I wouldn't address it at all. To me,
you would not say a word.
I wouldn't say a word to him. We go right back out there and practice on Monday.
Tony, I agree with Jerry, but 1994 is a lot different today. And the only thing I got to say about it is that it was bad enough as it was, just seeing it raw, if nobody said anything about it. But ESPN's just how they are, and just chronically just, you know, they just overanalyze everything. And just had to keep on about it. We won the football game. We ought to be happy because we shouldn't have won that game. And we did, which is.
Tony, go ahead. You want to make a point.
That's pretty much Herb Street, though. As long as I've been watching Herb Street on the TV, he does that a lot. He does that. He picks on. I've seen him, you know, talk about kids like that.
So you call that kind of a shameless thing, as Eric S. says right now?
Well, you know, you see it, okay. You say something about it, let it go. You know what I'm saying? But they keep going
back
to it.
They went back to it.
They kept going back to it. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah, like every time there's a three and out, they got to go shoot right.
Yeah, they got to shoot him. Every time. And, you know, I'm watching the kid biting his fingernail. Like, what the? Now, I'm going to give you an example. When I got hurt.
Yes.
But if you notice before then, Darryl Dickey was always in the game. He was always in the game. That's what made it so easy for Darryl to come in and replace me. I mean, it was. I'm not saying it was easy, but he came in and we continued doing what we, you know, what we wanted to do. And Darryl was into the game.
What's sad is that we're talking about something, as somebody just said, that wasn't even on the field tonight. And so much that happened on the field is worthy of reflection and conversation.
And that off the field.
And that's, I mean, really, I feel badly for the kid because it's not going the way he thought. And I think he thought he was going to play in the first half tonight, which is why he was hanging that head and pouting in the second half. And I'm not excusing it. I'm really not. And I think the kid has I-75 eyes. I mean, I just do. They're going to have to manage that. I really do.
Yep.
But you know what, Tony?
You're right.
Because it's the truth. You guys understand
something. Didn't two Alabama quarterbacks leave after the program last year?
And they're bad-mouthing Saban. You guys understand something about today, Jerry? These kids today, and I'm not going to sound like an old guy here, but it's just different.
Yeah, they are.
This kid from the time he's been fifth grade, he's been told he was chosen. This guy, when it came to making his public declaration that he was going to Tennessee, it was enough for you to maybe have a press conference at your school. Maybe this kid here went to Times Square. I mean, it's a different deal, y'all.
You know what I think is overrated? These five stars, these four stars, Tony. It's because I've seen a lot of these stars they call five stars. I don't think they could. I don't want to play with these guys.
There's no doubt about that. But
this is overrated.
Trey Smith was a five-star for my hometown.
You damn straight. And Trey Smith, there's a couple guys out there that deserve this. He murdered a couple guys tonight at the point of attack. I mean murdered.
Now you got true players. You got true ballers. Then you got those fake ones they want to build up. But, hey, that field, when you're on the playing field, that determines what kind of baller you are.
No doubt about it. Hey, thank you for the call tonight. Great talking to you.
Thank you. Keep it up.
Hey, thank you. 865-200-5402.
Hey, Tony.
Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, and you know what? I think what would change this is if one of those guys that have been on campus before, that's got a couple years being over there on the hill, I think if they went over to him and said exactly what we're saying, all it would take is that conversation. I don't think it would need to even have to go through a coach to call him into, you know, some sort of special meeting.
In other words, a Tony Robinson.
Yep.
Pulling him aside and saying, hey, look, kid, I walked in your shoes. I went back to Tallahassee, and I almost did not realize some of the greatest times of my life. It's true.
And, you know, during that whole scenario, Condrus Holloway was over there talking to him also. Condrus was over there talking to him.
Tonight.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah, Condrus was talking to him, you know. And, you know, Condrus can tell him a lot of things. He goes, hey, back in his day and my day and now Gentano's days.
Yeah.
Son, look, you got to be prepared, man. You got to be prepared and stay in the game. Stay in the game. It seems like you're not rooting for your team.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Except you're not really.
That's not
you
a good look.
That's not a good look for you. You know, because if you want to transfer and you go somewhere else, the same thing might happen.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so now you're doing the same thing. You're biting your fingernails and you're looking.
And let me give you a great example of that, okay? And I'm not saying this kid's this kid, okay? But Mitch Mustaine was going to be the next best thing, right? Things did not go his way at Arkansas.
Oh, man.
He transferred to USC, and at the end of his career, you couldn't have found him on a milk carton. Am I lying?
No.
And he was more decorated than this kid. So.
That's
the hype. That's the hype again.
Yeah, let's go back to our phones. You know, the hype is the hype.
I mean, you know. Playing speaks for itself.
Let's go back to our phones, 865-200-5402, and get our next call in. As Jerry Colquitt has put it out, that Tony Robinson needs to get involved in this situation. Hello and welcome into our next caller.
Hey, Tony. It's Robert in Chattanooga.
Hey, Robert. Welcome in from the beautiful scenic city, which gave me my lovely wife.
Oh, fantastic. A couple of things I haven't heard anybody mention yet, and I don't know if any of you guys felt this way, but I kind of did at the end of that game when Georgia Tech failed to convert on that two-point conversion. Did any of you guys, did it run through your mind like it did mine, was, oh, my God, the replay booth is getting ready to the Derek Dooley,
no
Butch Jones here.
Absolutely.
Did any of that cross your mind?
Absolutely, 1,000% crossed my mind.
Oh, my God. I kept staring at the screen and just kept waiting for it, thinking they're going to overturn this.
Yep.
They're going to overturn this because we're
Tennessee. They blew the whistle.
Yeah, they blew the whistle.
The whistle was blown.
But the point is here, Jerry, Tony, we major in false finishes here.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we've had more dusty finishes, as they say in wrestling, here. He's down. He was pinned. No. His shoulder just got up, or there was outside interference, or yeah, I'll give Butch Jones this, because I think for the most part, at times he's been on kind of a loser here. He really has. Last year, that Georgia game and this game right here are two instances where he might be turning over a new leaf. I mean, they walked out of there like a winner tonight.
They did.
You know,
they really did. And it was one of those games where, you know, you're so glad to get the win. And at the same time, you're thinking, did we deserve this win? Did we really deserve this win? Because your heart kind of goes out for the Tech players because they played their hearts out. They really did. But, you know, a W is a W, and I'll take it every time. But another thing I was going to ask, and I didn't notice during the game, but how much substitution did we do on defense for our defensive line? Did Piku get in the game? Did Alexis Johnson get in the game? Because it seemed like it was the same front every time. And I kept wondering, you know, these guys had to be totally gassed.
We did very, very little substituting in light of the circumstances in tonight's game. And that's the thing that really makes little sense to me. Just the way the game was managed, the game was odd. It really was.
It was.
And so that's one of the things that's a little strange is in terms of the substituting and how things went. And again, I understand not seeing Tuttle. I think we all understand that. I think we all completely get that. But just the lack of, what's the word you're using? Rotation of personnel up front is really strange.
Yeah. Yeah, because I would have thought we would have seen, especially as the game worn on and as long as our defense was on the field, I thought we'd see a lot more substitution than what we did, and you know, you can take that a lot of different ways. Was this scripted that way, or are backups really that ineffective? Or it just seemed odd to me because Piku, especially Piku's, he's got a lot of experience. He's played a lot in a lot of games.
No doubt about it. And he tonight ends up with one tackle. on the evening, to your point, which means he was in there very little. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of guys that just did not play in that interior like you'd have thought. And I'll tell you another guy who was kind of quiet tonight was Jonathan Kongbo. And I'm not sure how much of this game, how much of a chance it was going to be for him to shine in a game like this. But Tone, he was awfully quiet for a guy who's supposed to be a player of impact.
A player, You know,
I saw him around the ball a lot, like you know, in replays and there were a lot of times where I saw him around the play, but he didn't shine.
He didn't make plays. Yeah, he didn't make plays. Yeah, it's one thing to be in the picture. It's another thing to be making plays. Colton Jumper had a night like that, you know, in a lot of ways. He ends up with three solo tackles, 18 total, but he overran a whole lot of plays.
He missed some tackles, overran some plays.
And Jerry Colquitt was telling me on the show and also on our blog at TonyBasilio.com, as he did a film study for this one, you thought Jumper was going to have a big game, Jerry. Did he play to the level you thought he'd play, Jerry, or do you think he'd play better?
I thought he played a solid game. I think if you really take a deep dive, he actually played better considering how fatigued those tackles were, I think, from quarter two to quarter three, especially. I mean, you could see early in the game, that first quarter, everything was very precise, and the timing was right. When that guy came around the edge off that that fullback dive, boom, Colton Jumper was right there. But you could see as our guys fatigued in that second half, then he was a half a step late, and someone was at his ankle, and he would get clipped, but he tried to do the best he could, getting back on his feet and then hustling, like you said, close to the ball carrier. But I thought that was more a reflection of what was happening in front of him more so than Colton Jumper, because you saw early on, I know that when Colton Jumper hits you, when he gets his hands on you, he will thump you. I saw him put that hat on a couple of people early on when he had a chance to scrape, that A gap all the way up to the C gap, between the they don't play with a tight end, but the third gap out there outside of their offensive tackle.
Well, all I know is Tennessee tonight found a way to win a football game that they had absolutely no business winning. And my friend down in Chattanooga, anything else for us on the way out?
I only had one other question. Is there any? Do you guys happen to know what the projected return time is for Austin Smith? Is this only a one game deal that he's out? Or
don't know. Okay. Don't know. Wish I had more information on that. It's very vague, man.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Tony. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Great talking to you. Yeah, I wish I had more information on that. It's very vague on him. Extremely vague. It's
Tony.
Yes. Go ahead, Jerry.
I tell you, another guy who was absent too, TK Jr. I thought he would have been more of a factor. And if you're talking about the safety position and versus option football, especially early on when they're going to be predictable when they're still like in that first phase of what they do. I thought he would have been around the ball a whole lot more. Just selling out. Against the run, kind of like you remember the 90 game when we played Colorado, and the one thing that everyone knew Dale Carter could do, he was fast, and he would hit that alley, the alley meaning, way back at the safety position, back there on the hash, all the way to the wide receivers down at the bottom of the number, and he knew that he had to meet Darian Hagan in the alley every single play, and man, woo-wee, he showed up big that game. I thought this would be the kind of game where TK, where he's limited in space against the pass. I thought if he had to do one thing every play, he was going to go in there and blow somebody up when they tried to cut it up off that off the keep.
The problem for him tonight, though, Jerry, is that he didn't draw the start, and he didn't play a tremendous amount. And even at that, TK Jr. still had two solo tackles and assisted on another one for three for the game. And as Tony Robinson about TK said, the guy makes plays, man. He plays for me.
TK plays for me, man. Regardless of the speed, but the key is around the ball. That's what I want. That's exactly somebody running the ball, man. If you're running the ball, then you got to make some plays.
You're exactly right.
But if you're not running the ball now, for instance, one play where our safety got beat. Our safety bit on that fake by Georgia Tech's quarterback, and the guy was running down the field by himself when he caught that ball. You remember that play, Jerry?
Yep.
You remember that play? Hey, he's looking in the backfield, and got caught. Looking in the backfield, you know what I'm saying? But the safety's job against Austin is to take away that running back.
I'll tell you this right now, guys. Georgia Tech might be better than we thought they were.
Oh, definitely.
Because they're picked to be a middling sub-500 ACC team. Their quarterback, Jerry, is a lot better than I thought he was going to be. Let's give credit where credit is due. He's a damn really nice player.
And you know what I see?
Go ahead.
This kid can throw the ball pretty well.
That's what I'm saying.
This kid can throw the
ball. For a kid that's offense,
he can throw the ball pretty well.
He throws the ball much better than their outgoing quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
Much better. I mean, as Bino said last year, you're talking about a guy that had one touchdown last year to a wide receiver all season long. That kid there that we saw tonight, either we're horrible defensively, or he's going to have a nice year for them. And it's either or, you know?
Yeah, and I think with him as well, Tony, when he gets proficient at running their base play, the option, I think everything that you saw him do tonight will even elevate that much even more. I thought his option pitch angles were off. You would see a lot of times, you know, they tell you, hey, when you come off that fullback dive, man, come flat down the line of scrimmage. You would see oftentimes he would bow back too much, and when he would be ready to pitch it, he would be almost right in the halfback's lap. You want to keep that pitch relationship so you can really stretch the defenders and make them make a decision on you. So I think as the season progresses, when you see him get better at that, I think he's even going to be more dangerous because then, you know, their base play, you know, will be more effective. And you know, when they're coming at him, boom, he can dish it off to the halfback without those guys being able to break stride.
Generally, I like the option. I think it's a pretty offense to watch. I don't like it when you're carving up my team like a Thanksgiving day, like a pumpkin on Halloween. Let's go back to the phones. I mean, they did everything, but they literally carved us up. I was waiting for them to come over there and cut a few holes in our turnover trash can. Let's get our next call in. That's what that trash can's for. It's for turnovers.
Should cut the bottom out of it or something.
Well, yeah, you know what? Speaking of which, I like when we tried to dunk the ball into it.
Oh.
And it rimmed. It looked like one of Rick Barnes's recruits. Let's get back to the phones, get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Thank you, Tony. I know the hour's late. I just have two or three quick comments to make, and I'll let you go. First of all, I'm just incredibly disappointed because what I've been hoping for is to see a Tennessee team come out on the field and be a good football team. How many years has it been since Tennessee has been a good football team? 15 years? I don't know. Second thing is, I think we ought not to overlook the historically bad thing we saw tonight on defense. Of 121 years, no Tennessee team has ever given up 535 yards rushing. No team under any circumstance. And I know an earlier caller tonight, I think a Florida State fan, said you need to try to talk to Tennessee people back off the ledge. I went back and checked to see what Georgia Tech rushed last year. The most they rushed in any one game was 364 yards, and that was against Mercer, which is not really exactly a powerhouse in football. Three of the games, they were in the hundreds. But at any rate, I just think that we can't overlook the fact that we saw something tonight that was historically bad.
And it was and we still managed to find a way to win, which I think is a good sign. However, I'm really concerned about our secondary, and I still remain seriously concerned about our defensive tackle play. And I saw nothing tonight to alleviate my concerns. Did you, sir?
I did not. I guess what I'm trying to say, Tony, I just worry about what this portends for the future, because we're going to face some pretty good offenses as we go forward to this year. Let me say there is one positive thing that I think has not been mentioned tonight. Tennessee did not turn the ball over, and they had very few penalties. And last year, that was just a continual problem for them. So that's one good thing, a little bit more discipline tonight on offense, I felt like.
I tell you what, Coach Majors was a stickler for this one thing, turnovers. Turnovers win games. Yeah. Turnovers lose games. And we had how many we had this year?
I'd be zero.
Okay, so let's not talk about that anymore.
Well, I'll give you a great example of that. I'll give you a great example. Alabama through the years, whether it's this era or last era or whenever, when they've been super successful, they're winning that turnover battle. The Florida State Seminoles, where you come from the other night, that game turned on two plays.
Turnovers.
And they were both in the kicking game.
That's right.
And it was two turnovers. And you spot a team 14 points, any decent team, yep, even when you're giving up 535 yards, you can still win a football game when you commit zero turnovers. You can undo a lot of harm.
Things. That's right.
And because we played well tonight.
Florida State against Alabama. Florida State defense. Florida State's defense played well against Alabama, but those turnovers killed them.
Alex has another number for you, caller, to take to the bank as you lay your head down, which is something, a reason I take solace in tonight's game. Go ahead, Al.
Tennessee was only penalized two times tonight for 20 yards. And
that's what I was pointing out. That's
perfect game.
There's no turnovers and very few penalties.
A nearly perfect game.
And here's my thing, caller. Hear your thoughts on this. My thing is, you got a new offensive coordinator, you got a new quarterback, you've essentially got a new running back because he wasn't a starter last year.
Uh-huh.
To have all that, have zero turnovers, have two penalties, you're breaking an offensive lineman out the yin yang, you got a new freshman.
Do we have any holding calls?
I mean, that's
no holding call.
If you tell me before the game that all that's going to be the case, right? Offensively, I'm sitting here going, we're rolling.
You roll, yeah.
I'll tell you.
And another, a big thing, a big plus. Zero sacks.
Yep.
No sacks.
That's the deal, man.
You know what I mean? I mean, you know, you can talk about the offensive line play, but
really, how many hurries were there?
Well,
there really
wasn't that many hurries, but that main thing is no sacks.
No sacks.
No interceptions. You know, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was clean.
That's clean game, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I want to come in the good thing tonight as well, and there were some good things.
Yep. You're exactly right.
Kept you long enough. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, Tony.
Hey, thank you for being there. 865-200-5402. Jerry, your thoughts.
Yeah. You know, what you guys are talking is discipline, football. You know, when you go on the road, you have to take your running game with you and your discipline. And tonight, they brought both. Tony, I had Dormady down for one bad read. You guys were just talking about it. Yeah, they brought Jennings on a deep crossover, but behind him they ran a post. Do you know there was about 10 defenders that ran with Jennings when he ran on that deep crossover? He missed a touchdown. Every other read for the night I thought was pretty clean. A lot of balls that were either accurate and caught or no one caught at all. So just the fact that he did that to me means that he was prepared. You know, for the looks that were going to be thrown at him, even some of the different looks that they tried to get to him with, as far as some of those secondary blitzes early on. And we talked about this. Just, it's been a frustration of mine. It seems like in this offense, when they anticipate blitz, they just see it coming. They don't react. But when I saw him get rid of that football, when he's off that safety blitz, he allowed the guy not to sack him. And he also didn't allow the defense to touch the ball. That's when I knew he was in tune to what he was doing. So the fact that he had, one misread out there, maybe thrown into, obvious coverage there, I thought he played an excellent game and did exactly what you need to do when you go on the road and not, you know, give the other team, you know, any needless opportunity.
As prepared as he was, Jerry, it's almost like they got a quarterback coach or something over there.
Finally, huh? Finally.
What a concept.
Finally, we have a quarterback coach over there, which I think he's doing a good job over there. I think he's doing a good job with Dorman and the guys. But
Chico and the man, brother. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Alex been Alex has been sitting at my knee here for a little bit, Jerry, and he's already ripping off the one-liners. Kid's got a future. Let's get our next call in, 865-200-5402. It's about 3:20 in the Eastern time zone, but what the hell? What's 90 minutes? What's an hour and a half among friends? It might as well be 2 o'clock Eastern, you know? Or then again, it might as well be 5 o'clock Eastern, which is soon to be.
Soon to be.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you for being there.
Well, I'm with my buddies, and we're on I-75 heading back towards Knoxville.
Hey, God bless you.
I just want to thank you for keeping us up, man. We've been enjoying post-game coverage, and what a win.
Give me your thoughts on being at the ball game and just what you guys are feeling right now as you make your way home.
Well, it's exhilarating. Whenever they were pounding away at us, you know, running those 12, 13-play drives, I think at one time they had, you know, 26 running plays in a row. I was very disheartened, to say the least. But, I mean, we just fought. And whatever you say about this team, I mean, they know how to fight. That goal line stand was something to watch, Tony.
You know, I can't imagine what that's like to sit there and watch your team get the ball. I think the number got up to like 30-31 in terms of the number of running plays in a row. And, I mean, Georgia Tech was pounding us, as you just said. We were totally, completely gassed. The only way Tech was going to lose that game when it became a 14-point spread was a quick turnover and a quick score by the Vols, and that's exactly, it's exactly what happened. What'd you guys do when number one caught that hitch and went down the sidelines for the touchdown?
Well, I saw him, I think that was their wing back, and he kind of released right up the field. We didn't have any coverage up the middle. And then I think a safety dropped back, and it's going to be a 50-50 ball. And, you know, I think it was number one who caught it, and he just made a play. And I was just worried. And we were just kind of having this debate in our car. Without those two fumbles, I think Georgia Tech may have ran away with it in the fourth quarter.
It's a worthy discussion. Tony, if without the two fumbles, what happens in that game?
I agree with the caller. Yeah. We get run over, man. Those two turnovers cost Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
they hurt Georgia Tech. They had the momentum. They were rolling.
Yeah.
And bam.
In my mind, there are three costly plays that Georgia Tech has happened to them. And a couple of them were self-inflicted, and one of them was coaching. The decision by Paul Johnson.
His two-point conversion play.
two-point conversion. That's a good one.
That play,
decision to kick a field goal on fourth and seven with a guy that has about as much chance as me at the drive-in movie theater when I was in high school is about the dumbest thing in the world. How bad did he miss that kick?
It was a flying duck.
I mean, yeah, it looked like seriously like it could have killed somebody. Over on the sidelines.
Didn't have a prayer in the world.
So that's a dumb decision. And then I'm looking at those two turnovers, not good. And then the one that Tone's talking about, the play they caught on the two-point conversion, which, by the way, I can't imagine what it's like being in that stadium. How bad are you holding your breath there on that two-point conversion?
Well, I was just, you know, being the ball fan that I am, I was just worried about North Carolina or LSU happening, and they you know, review it, and somehow they score. But I thought they were going to run that. They were running that trap play with their quarterback all night, and I guess, you know, we just made the right assignment there and stopped them. It was scary, though. I thought they were really going to pull it out here.
I think he just ran the wrong side of the field. He didn't get a quarterback a chance. But I'm glad he called that play. I'm glad he called that play instead of that one where they pull those and guard the tackle, and the quarterback runs behind him, because that play was killing us all game long.
Thank God they didn't do what they should have done.
That's right.
Sometimes guys just outthink themselves. I'm putting my hands in the ball, that quarterback, and I'm letting him turn a corner. And I'm saying that a linebacker or a safety, more power to you if you can stop this.
Well, hey, Tony, I have two more questions.
Go ahead.
Your panel want to answer it, but we were just debating this in the car. Me and my buddy, we're huge fans of this option offense, and we were thinking, what do you think that would look at Tennessee with the system, with the players we have? And two, would you like if we ran a flex zone or an offense, like a deer offense? And we just want to hear from y'all, and thanks for having us.
Thank you. Jerry, I'll start with you. A flex bone or an option type offense, to really do it effectively, you got to sell out to it and all its intricacies. And it's nearly impossible with a 20-hour rule to implement something like that unless you go full bore in it. That's why very few people do it these days. But it certainly has its place. The problem with that offense, in my opinion, and I'm going to go around the room here, is that you can't put anybody away when you're playing that offense. Beano Jeff Henderson made a great point when he first got on here, which is their offensive approach kept Tennessee in that game tonight, though they were mashing us. Jerry, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on the option offense, and if you'd like to see Tennessee run it, and if we could run it, if given the time, if we could run it with our personnel.
Yeah, Tony, I think offenses like that, you know, they're so different and unique. It's a commitment to the program, meaning there are guys on the fringes of talent, you know, a lot of those guys wouldn't be able to fit into a normal system. So it would almost take, you know, like a three to five year project where you actually get guys in there. Cause if you notice tonight, a lot of those halfbacks that they had, they're almost like tweeners, not great halfbacks, but also, better runners than a fullback. Or you take this Searcy kid, on the most teams, that kid there would have been, you know, a slot wide receiver. And he's a hell of a player. So it is a commitment to the program. You have to recruit certain guys for that. And I feel like when you start doing that, and you even see it with some of these spread option offenses these days as well, especially down in the Big 12 conference, I feel like you put yourself into a corner, and you make yourself a little bit less flexible over a period of time. But if you can catch something like that in the right conference, against a certain group of talent, kind of like Oregon, implemented something special, schematically wise, like in the Pac-12. And I think you can hit that thing just right and make a dent in your conference. And, you know, if that thing can get you 8 wins, 9 wins, every now and then a 10-win season, then, for some people, I think it would be worth it. But for me, especially with the players that Tennessee has access to, I can't justify, you know, going that route when Tennessee just have access to so many different types of players at running back, halfback, or wide receiver, quarterback. So I'd rather stick to something more mainstream versus what we saw in Georgia Tech.
The great Tony Robinson, bow thy head. I would like your thoughts on that offense and the possibility of implementing it here and how that would grab you, the playmaker, the great Tony Robinson. Your thoughts, man.
Well, I look at it like this, V. If you got the right personnel, if you can get your quarterback that can throw the ball and can run the ball and can make the right decisions on who to give the ball to, then you have no problem. But how rare is that going to be?
Yeah, exactly.
You look back at the option, great offense, man. One of the best offenses there is to run.
Yeah.
But very rarely do you have a quarterback that can run the ball and throw the ball as well.
And that's a thing that was really hell about that kid tonight.
You know, but this
is that he had an arm, a downfield arm for an option quarterback.
Yeah. But I would want to see that here at Tennessee. I think we got
no.
I would like to see more plays up under the center.
Well, ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, we start off up under the center tonight.
That's a good point.
Hey, that showed me something. You know, I mean, hey, might be better things to come.
You guys are a little more observant than me. But, I forgot all about that.
I would like to see more plays up under the center. I would like to see John Kelly deep, 7 yards deep in the backfield back there, regardless of fullback in front of him or not, but that gives him a chance to make his cuts, make his reads and everything. I like the way offenses, I like the way we played the second half. I think we got a lot. We got a lot to look for this year. We got a lot to look for this year. I think we're going to have an exciting team if we could correct a few things on defense.
Yeah, if we don't correct a few things on defense, we're going to sit there at 7-5 and do our thing and take our lumps.
We're going to be doing a lot of
The good thing is you get 2 weeks, and I'm going to ask you guys what you would do between now and the Florida game. But, Alex, your thoughts on this offense and the offense we saw Tech run tonight and what your take is?
Well, I think kind of like T-Rob was saying, it's rare to find a quarterback that can run and pass and do both well, but it's even more rare to find one that can do both well and then make the decisions, you know, really thinking to make decisions in such a – I mean, everything
– it's got to be quick, split second,
You really can't think. It's almost like you just got to have a natural instinct about it. But also, like kind of like you hinted at, Jerry, that the talent that we have access to, whether it's going a couple hours down to Georgia, whether it's Nashville growing, I think we got something like 20 or so four stars in the 2019 class in state.
Yeah. Wow.
Is to me, this offense caters to teams that are a little subpar as far as their talent goes to the teams that they're facing. And it helps teams catch up, you know, play catch up in that facet. Whereas Tennessee, you've got enough talent here to where you don't have to play gimmicks. You should be able to line up and just beat someone.
And that's one of my problems, my main problems with Butch Jones' spread, is that spread predominantly has been an offense that's used by lesser likes to hang with big boys. And when you forfeit having a fullback on the field at any time, I'm not talking about all the time.
Yeah.
But when you forfeit that ability, and we didn't see it in tonight's game because we saw very little on the goal line, plus you're playing a defense that's smaller than you.
Yeah.
But when you get in these games where you're with Florida,
well, you get these SEC games,
third and short, and brother, that's where the dogfight is. Yeah. That's the
in
thing.
The trenches, baby, in the trenches.
And that's the thing that's the thing under this coach.
We don't see.
We've surrendered.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know. And so, this is smash mouth football.
Go ahead, Jerry.
One of the things that scared me about this game late in it, when we got down on the goal line, and we're right there to punch this thing in and get the win. When he was snapping that thing back, it looked like two or three times in a row the center was just going to snap it clear over his
head.
It was so scary.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm like you, Rob. I'm like, can you at least rep some of this stuff so that when you do come to these situations, you're not married to, you know, one certain thing that you have to go to?
Yeah. But
Allow me to help you with that. The answer is no.
You know what, Jerry? You're on the 1 yard line. You're down at the one on the goal line down here going in.
Yeah.
Why am I going to get back 5 yards for the shotgun?
It's never made any
sense. I'm up under the center. Last year, it doesn't make any sense to me, man. I'm still having headaches over that one from last year.
But the reason they do it, Jerry, is because that's the way he's always done it. And it's never made any sense, but it is what it is. And what I love about college football, though, is that unlike the pro game, in college football, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
Right, right.
When you're coordinating, and Monty Kiffin learned this, when you're coordinating in college football, you have to be well versed in several different languages. Seriously, on defense, offensive languages, or your ass is gonna get exposed. And that's exactly what happened to him, because that Tampa 2, that stuff does not work
in college.
In college football.
Yeah, you know.
So it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting
discussion. This might work in the pros, but it doesn't work in the college.
Yeah.
This might work in college, but it does not work in the pros.
That's interesting. But there's no reason why Tennessee can't do what they're doing. And I would like to take Butch Jones's hatred of a fullback and stick it in his trash can.
Can I ask Jerry something real quick?
Yeah, and then we got to go back to the phones and get my final call in here, because I can't – I love this, but I can't take it anymore. Go ahead.
We're talking about lining up under center, having a fullback in the goal line situations. Jerry, how nice was it? I looked at Tony at Bearden Hill Fieldhouse tonight. And I was born in 94, but to me – watching John Kelly dive over the end zone, dive over the goal line, kind of over the offensive line tonight.
Yeah.
It was shades of little man Stewart. It was Jay Graham. It was Travis Stevens. How great was that?
Johnny Jones.
You don't see that anymore.
You don't see that anymore. Herschel Walker. The Herschel Walker leap. The Walker dog. The Herschel Walker leap. Four back in front. Herschel isolation play.
How you stopping
over
that?
The top.
How you stopping that? Who's going to go up high and get him?
Who wants to go up high and get him?
Jerry, your thoughts. Tony's fired up in here, in literally and figuratively.
Yeah, no question. And think about this tonight, fellas. You know, one of the things I think that you saw is what happened to us on the flip side. So all those carries and all those rushes, man, after the third and fourth quarter, those things start hurting. When you start having guards pulling at you and you're a linebacker, when you start having centers – combo block, you know, with a guard, and they chip up to the second level. Man, after a while, that starts to change the complexion of the game. And I feel like a lot of these guys aren't allowing their, especially in these big conference schools, they're not allowing these big kids that they sign onto campus. They're not allowing them to just do what they're naturally bred to do. You see it over and over and over again. And as much as I like Kirkland and some of those guys that we have now and have had in the last couple of years, I've always felt that although they could run and make some tackles in space, but when it came to playing that game between the box, I thought at times, you know, go back to some of the Florida games, I thought they ran the ball really physically against us. Alabama, Arkansas, when Alex Collins came into Knoxville, man, they were laying that hammer. But I think that is a skill that is hard to teach. And sometimes these offenses, I feel like they're giving up too much on that aspect of the running game, a downhill running game, and also, you know, going to go find you a fullback out there to come to campus and block for one of these great running backs.
Let's finish up here with our final caller. Hello and welcome in. Garza Law, fifth quarter. Fan reaction, hello.
Tony, I'm honored to be your final caller of the night. We're just saw a sign about 40 miles from Knoxville. I got a car full of students embarking on their final season as students at the University of Tennessee.
Wow.
And we just captured one of the all-time great memories that we'll have from our days here at UT. You know, we listen to the show and we hear a lot about the memories that we make, about how special this place is. And tonight, even though it was an ugly game, it's one of those memories that won't escape us for a while. And I just wanted to call in and touch on that a little bit, and talk a little bit about the stadium and the atmosphere. It was unparalleled. And you've been at games and sporting events like this, but you know, you have an incredible comeback win like that. Everybody's filing out of the stadium afterwards and doing all the chants. Great to be a Tennessee Ball, BOLS, go Vols, go. Just one of those all-time memories that you won't forget.
I guarantee you that if you're at that game tonight, as you, especially and you're in your senior year where you start savoring every moment, and you realize how special that time is. You know, it's just kind of fleeting, and like it is for all of us. But when you're a senior, you know, you take that reflection because you're soon to enter the real world. And let me tell you, as Cool Mo D once said, or I think it was Grandmaster Flash back in the day, this is when Tony had this, it's like a jungle sometimes. It makes you wonder how you keep from going under. What was it, Tony?
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes you wonder how you keep from going under.
So my point is that I think it's great that you would call and share that with us tonight and just how special the time must have been. And I can't imagine what it's like for your counterparts that have the Georgia Tech gold on the night that are seniors that went into that game thinking, you know what, we're going to start our senior year with a win over the vaunted Tennessee Volunteers who were favored to win this game. We're going to beat them. They were up two scores, man. With like 8.5 minutes left, there's no. I put on Twitter, we need a miracle, and then we got that turnover. That was what you saw. You saw something miraculous tonight. That's what you saw, really.
Yeah.
You witnessed history.
We had a bad taste in our mouth. The last road trip we had was the South Carolina game last year. And that speaks for itself. But we were listening to you that night, too. And we liked this conversation a lot better. But we thank you for being there. I did have a question for you.
Go ahead.
I saw you tweet out last night that you were looking for a post-game thread of Texas A&M, and I just wondered if you found anything.
No, they don't have anything like this. Nope.
Ah.
Isn't that incredible, man? You know, yes. The truth is, and I'm not blowing our own horn here, but last year I was with my brother up in Indianapolis when they won the Big Ten championship. And we're driving back in the middle of the night. My brother turns to me and he said, man, I would give anything to have a show like the one you do for the Tennessee fans. Anything.
So they don't have shows?
No, nothing like this. Nothing like they do what the Vol Network does, which is on nights like this, where it's going to be a late night, they just all go to bed.
Yeah, their coverage was probably over before we got out of traffic downtown.
Yeah, I mean, look, and here's the thing about this. I'm up right now, and I have to get up tomorrow morning and do my show. I'm gonna get up at 9:30 in the morning. It's 3:40 right now, and let me tell you something. I ain't getting any prettier. I mean, I need my beauty sleep, brother.
I believe he needs it all.
And I ain't getting much tonight. And Tony, you're one to talk. Like you, you look like Famous Amos sitting over there.
Oh yeah, I'm sitting here
clown.
Chilling. I'll sit here chilling with a moose.
You made me some chocolate chip cookies.
Hey. I like that idea.
No question. Anything else for us, sir, on the way home? And I wish you guys well. Please stay alert, stay awake.
Yes. Well, your show's done a lot to help that. So thank you for being on. And also, just thank you for what you're doing for the kids for the upcoming tailgate. That's just an incredible thing. And hopefully me and some of my buddies can stop by in Circle Park and just see
I want you to
the
do that.
Impact you make on those kids.
Yeah.
Something they'll carry with them for a long time.
I want you to do
give
that.
Them a little glimmer of hope,
yeah,
in,
that's right,
in the dark world that oftentimes they're living in. So thank you for doing that.
Hey, have a great night, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And go balls to you, man. And I just want to make one correction. It's not something I'm doing. It's something we're all doing, which is the point. So in case you're wondering what that gentleman's talking about, we're going to be in Circle Park. And I'm going to let this be my final word tonight, but I want to encourage you, get your tickets to the UMass game to me. Go to the website, TonyBasilio.com, and check it out. And we, through Amachi Knoxville, are going to take as many kids as possible to the UMass UT game. A ton of these folks will be attending their first ever Tennessee game, and what a great impact that is on them to walk into that stadium. And these are kids of incarcerated parents. And it's just a great thing. So I appreciate that caller saying something about that. Let's go around the room. We'll do final thoughts. Jerry Colquitt, you in FEMA Quadrant 10 in the Pacific Northwest. You go first.
Yeah, man, I'm super encouraged. You know, what I saw from this offense tonight, from quarterback, wide receiver, what we got at running back. And I thought we even saw some depth at running back. Offensive line held up. You know, we won a really good game in a hostile environment. Defensively, secondary, I think they've got some patchwork to do, especially finding out who. I think Mosley would be okay, but who else, you know, can they go to? They got to figure that out. And then, you know, what we saw tonight, is that an anomaly of some of these guys not being on the field or some of these guys really, and you know how they are with the injury reports and all. Some of these guys, you know, more injured than what they sometimes lead on. So, but I think overall, especially in the initial part of this SEC schedule, I feel pretty good about where we are versus where the competition is to Florida and Georgia.
Jerry, God bless, man. Thanks.
I will go with
you. See you, Tony.
All right, man.
T-Rob, final thought here tonight, brother.
Tony.
And by the way, thank you for being here as late as you are. It's 3:43 in the Eastern Time, and the great Tony Robinson is in this studio, and he has hung and bung with me, is quoting Hulk Hogan, since 6:30 this evening. Tony, we spent almost 12 hours together. Are you tired of me?
You're my man, T.
Oh, I love you, man. You're my guy.
Well, for offensive wise, I think we got some exciting things to look forward to. I think for UT's offense, we still got some work to do. Defensively, we got a lot of work to do. I think we need to reevaluate our talent over on that defensive side. Because, like I say, I found a star over there. I found me a star. So we need to find some more. But other than that, T, I think we're gonna have a pretty exciting season. We're gonna surprise a lot of folks this year.
You gotta have playmakers if you're gonna surprise people.
We found some playmakers now. It's just a matter of if we can keep some people healthy, keep guys healthy, and get them guys that want to play some ball and keep them in the game.
Thanks, Tone. The great Tony Robinson, you will bow your head. Superstar, super, super, superstar, Alex. First of all, superstar, Alex, before we get you in here, what did you think of your first night here on this Garzalaw fifth quarter fan reaction? This is pretty incredible, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Just that incredible. Because I was a couple callers ago that was in their car as a senior in college listening to the show for 3 hours straight. You know, that was, other than the fact of calling in, that was me 12 months ago. And so fresh out of college, getting to do this week one is just a truly incredible experience. And as much fun as it was listening, it was equal to that. And, you know, it's hard to imagine that would have been the case, but it was just equally as fun being a part of it. Really more so getting to see how it goes behind the scenes, getting to meet T. Rob. You know, I thought he was a basketball player just about. When you walk in, you recognize who he is. You don't realize how tall he is, Tony. But yeah, just a great time tonight. It was a late one, no doubt. But unlike you, I'm fortunate that I don't have to be at work till quite a bit later tomorrow than you do. As far as my final thoughts on the team and this game, you know, one thing I took from tonight, I don't think either side of the ball this season is going to have to be exceptional. And what I mean by that is the offense has got enough talent to where, as you saw in the second half, they can put it together. And this offense is, you know, has the potential that they could be all right if they put it together, stay healthy at the right positions. At the same time, the defense, you saw it early on in that first half, as Jerry was talking about. It looked like Bob Shoup had a good game plan going into it at the first few drives. Before, to me, it looked like the defense just kind of got gassed. The defense was playing really well. They were attacking. They were being aggressive. They were where they needed to be. There was a lot of energy. So you see the potential for both sides of the ball to be pretty good. It's just a matter of fact of putting it together. But at the end of the day, and it's kind of a thought that I had before the game even ever started, even a couple weeks ago, but at the end of the day, it's all going to come down to week three, as it does almost every year, of, okay, you win or lost that first week, but here's where the season starts, and you really will have a better feel, I think, of what you're looking at after that Georgia game, or after that Florida game, excuse me, as we head into that Georgia game.
4 hours ago, thank you, Alex, great job. 4 hours ago, Tennessee put the finishing touches on the Georgia Tech game, and now look at us. 4 hours later, we're still blown away. 4 hours later, we're still captivated. 4 hours later, we're still mesmerized by how Tennessee could be as thoroughly outplayed as they were and yet turn around and have the resolve and the resilience to steal a win. And I would much rather be 1-0 with a lot of holes to fill, with a lot of question marks, than 0-1 feeling like I deserve to be 1-0. Sure, Tennessee has work to do. The Florida game doesn't happen for another month. In the meantime, we've got several weeks to spend with each other. Larry Bird U comes in next week. And unless that gentle giant walks in with him, I think it'll be a pretty picture for them. UMass after that, and then the next big test. But in the meantime, we're going to gather as a family. We're going to gather as a radio family. We're going to gather as a as a fan base, let's not lose the ability to enjoy how special and how magical college football is. Because at the end of it all, the two games that were played on Sunday night were incredible. Last night's game was absolutely incredible. And for Beano Jeff Henderson, the great Jerry Colquitt, the living legend himself, Tony Robinson, and superstar Alex Myers,